Good morning, church. I hate to interrupt some really great fellowship, but we need to get started. Good to have you worshiping with us online. You know, last Sunday, our pastor challenged us to consider reading the book of Luke, 24 chapters for the Advent season. Today's reading is chapter 7. And there are three people that has radical encounters with Jesus. The first one is a slave of a centurion soldier, and he is sick, and the centurion calls for Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus is halfway there, and then he stops him, and he said that, you know, you don't really need to come. Just say the word and it'll happen. And so he spoke the word, and this slave or this servant was healed. You know, distance doesn't limit the power of Jesus. You know that? The second person, there was a young man who passed away, and they were going to bury him, and Jesus came upon this funeral procession, and the mother of this young son was weeping. Jesus was moved with compassion. And so because of her hurting, Jesus raised her son from the dead. You know, Jesus, when he shows up at funerals, things, weird things happen sometimes. The third person was a sinner, is what Scripture says. And Jesus was dining with some Pharisees, and she come into the Pharisee's house, begins to anoint his feet with oil, begins to weep and wipe his feet with her tears. Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Your sins are forgiven. But I think the most radical encounter for me, as I was reading through this, John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus. And John had this question that he wanted them to ask him. And the question was, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? Are you the one? And of course, Jesus said, I am the one. Go tell John this: the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus was the one back then, and Jesus is the one today. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Amen? Amen. And I know this Christmas season there are people that struggle with joy. I mean, we sing joy to the world. They're struggling for that. We read the Christmas story, and we read that there should be peace and goodwill to men. They're struggling with that, struggling with peace as well. And Jesus is still the one. He's the one that's available. This morning, if that's you, if you're struggling with any of those things, if the chaos of this world has really got you down, just reach out to him. Scripture said he is near. He's not far from any of us. As a matter of fact, in him we live and move and have our being. Jesus is available. Respond to him as he seeks us to respond that way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Jesus, you are here. You are the most important person in the room. And we want to connect with you this morning in a deep and a profound and a powerful way. So open up our hearts. Open up our hearts. Give us fresh revelation of you coming to the earth to live the life you live so that we could live with you forever. Oh, we love you so. Just allow your favor to rest on our time, and we praise you for who you are in your precious name. Amen. Everybody say amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Sing it out.
Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
While Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger. Because there was no room for him in the inn, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
This morning we light the second candle of Advent. This is the candle of peace. At the arrival of Jesus, the angels proclaimed peace on earth. Let us, as a forgiven and redeemed people, rejoice in the peace that we have received in our own hearts through Jesus Christ.
If the children would join Miss Carlene and Miss Teresa over there.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. I was telling the early service, it's just such a joy to get to worship with you in the Advent season. The Advent season always brings a warmth to my heart, and seeing you all here this morning does that as well. So I'm glad to be here with you. And in this season, there's a lot going on, and there's things going on at our church as well. And so this evening is the children's program. And so all those precious children you just saw run out have been rehearsing and practicing, and they have a program for you at 5:30 this evening, and it'll be followed by dinner and dessert and good fellowship. So we hope that you can join us this evening for that. And then next Sunday is our Christmas workshop from 2 to 4 o'clock, and you can still sign up to serve with the children or to bring children if they would like to come, and they get to make some Christmas gifts that they can share the joy and love of the season with others with. So it's a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite things that my kids ever did in the Christmas season. And so mine are grown, but it's a great opportunity to get to see those children and bring some smiles to faces. So we hope you can join us next Sunday as well. I get to share with you this morning some exciting and fun celebration. It's fitting that it's Christmas time because I'm talking about Operation Christmas Child, as you guys hear me talk about often. But today I just want to thank you for serving this year and your generosity this year. We had so much fun packing shoeboxes, and it's kind of become a year-round thing. We packed shoeboxes at Vacation Bible School, so we kind of kick it off in the summer, and then we continue to pack. And we kind of had a corporate building of shoeboxes. We purchased enough items to pack 500 corporately. So it was a lot of fun. But our drop-off, I want to talk about that first. We had a drop-off location here for the week of Collection Week, and we collect boxes from the community as well, from just our church. And so through our drop-off location, we had 2,329 shoeboxes come through, and we cartoned those, and we sent them off to the processing center, and it was a lot of fun. And I had a lot of really, really wonderful volunteers that helped that week, and so I just want to say thank you to the people who came and served alongside me. It's one of those things where sometimes you're super, super busy all at one time, and then sometimes you're waiting for people to come. And I had volunteers that were joyful in the waiting and joyful in the serving, and I'm grateful for that. I also want to thank the McMurray track team. Midweek, they came and helped us move about 100 cartons, and the cartons are heavy, and they helped us load them onto two trailers, and they were terrific, and they're young and energetic and fit, and they can carry two cartons, and I can barely shove one, you know, so it was really, really wonderful to have their help, and I'm so grateful. So thanks to Coach Knight and his track team. And then our other carton haulers, because at the end of the week, the McMurray team's not available. And so we had other servants from our church that were helping to move those cartons. And I just appreciate that so much. And also we showed the love of Christ. As people came through our doors to drop off their shoeboxes, we prayed with people. We loved on people. There were hugs and there was joy. And I think everyone who came in the doors of our church to drop off a shoebox felt the love of Christ. And so that's really special also. And then I wanted to share with the packing parties, we have a little video that show some of the fun that we had this year packing shoeboxes. So if Lee wants to get our video pulled up, we packed shoeboxes, like I said, at Vacation Bible School, Wednesday Night Kids, and then we had an all-church packing party.
Thank you.
And I'm so grateful to Kit and Arthur for the pictures, because I'm a terrible picture taker, and she came through, so I had some pictures to share with you. And then a lot of you also took shoeboxes home, and you packed them on your own at home, which is a lot of fun to do, and brought them back full, and that was exciting. And we had one family that packed over 100 shoeboxes at their house this year, which was incredible. We had 101 shoeboxes that you guys packed online, which is incredible. And I think I shared with you that those go to hard-to-reach areas, so that's really neat also. And so that gave us a grand total through all those efforts of 844 gospel opportunities. So I am just thrilled. And I want you to picture 844 children who will open those gifts and know that God loves them and sees them, and they will hear the gospel. And so it's super exciting and wonderful. And they'll share it with their friends and their families and their communities. And so that translates to 8,440 people who will hear the gospel through your efforts. And the love of Christ will be shared with them. And that's incredible. So thank you for your generosity, for your service. It touches me, and I love you all, and thank you. I'm going to give you guys a round of applause. You're wonderful. And now, if you will join me in prayer. Lord, we just come to you this morning with full hearts that are grateful for Jesus. God, we thank you for the precious gift that he is to us. Not only that he was, but that he continues to be every day. Lord, in this season, will you just help to fill us with the gifts that Jesus brings us, God? The hope, the joy, the peace, the love, the things that he offers that we have through him. God, I thank you just that we can share that love and that peace and joy and that hope with others, that it's not just for us, but it's something that we get to share, and you give us that opportunity to be a part of sharing the gospel. Lord, during this season, sometimes we can be distracted with the many things, programs and fellowship, and all of that is fun, but God, would you help us to keep our focus on you? God, you are the reason why we celebrate, why this is a special season. And God, I just ask that you would help us to keep our focus on you, God, that our thoughts would be on Jesus, on what he accomplished. God, he came as a baby, but he died as a man for our salvation. And there is no greater gift than that. So God, may we just have that as our main focus. In the midst of everything else that we have going on, God, that would just be in the center of our thoughts and our minds and in our souls. God, I pray for your presence here with us this morning as we worship. God, may it be pleasing to you. May our worship be joyful and bring you glory. And God, may it just be pleasing to you in every way. God, I just pray that this community of believers, arm in arm with the believers all over the world, God, not just here in Abilene, but everywhere, God, that the Great Commission is happening, God, that more and more are hearing about you and hearing about your love for them and coming to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, may that be a reality. May you touch hearts and minds and open them to the gospel, to the good news. And God, I just pray that this morning your presence would be with us, that you would speak to us, and that as we continue worshiping this morning, God, you would give us exactly what we need today. You know what's in each of our hearts, and you know what we need, and God, that you would just provide our daily bread in that way. Lord, thank you for this generous fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. God, thank you that they have chosen to be your hands and feet and to serve others and to love others. God, this congregation is a blessing. God, just continue to bless us and just to be a part of each and everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you all join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And if you would like to worship through your offering as well this morning, on the screen you'll see instructions on how to do that, or we have offering boxes on either side of the sanctuary. Thank you.
The sun comes up, it's a new day. Well, good morning, church. You out there? All right. Isn't it a joy this Advent season? Don't you love Advent? Just the joy of it all and the anticipation of the Jesus, not only that he's come, but that he's promised that he will come again, as we remember that and celebrate that and look forward to that as well. If you are a guest this morning, we are glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, the love of his people, and hope you feel the Holy Spirit. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you if you're our guest. I'll be at this end of the foyer as you exit. If you're down here, come down and meet me. I'd like to get to know you and meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. I love me some Matthew, because you think about it, Matthew was he was one of the disciples. So many of the things that he writes about, he was there and he saw. This is he's writing the as he studied the birth of Jesus. He's writing this Matthew 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now notice, divorce, they were pledged to be married. They had not married yet, but in biblical time, the pledge, the betrothal, was considered marriage. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The angel is actually quoting Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It's written some 700 plus years before the birth of Christ. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are invited here. You are welcome here. We need you. We ask you to speak to us. Speak the only way you know to speak, which is in power and authority and truth, and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So continuing the second week of the Advent sermon series, Overcomers, and where we're looking at the story of the birth story of Jesus, today's message is Overcoming fear. Now, I know that I was told the early service, I probably was the only one in the early service and probably also in the second service that ever has any sort of anxiety or fear, right? Well, we're going to look a little bit about that today and how we might deal with that. What do you, how many of you have a Bible app on your phone? Anybody, any guesses what the number one Bible app in that there is? There was lots of guesses. Most of you were wrong. YouVersion is, if you read it, it's the number one Bible app. YouVersion Bible app. And guess what? Their verse of the year for 2025. What do you think maybe the verse of the year, just might be, where more people read that and studied that verse for the year 2025. Yeah. No. You would think a common verse, John 3:16 or something like that. Here I read this article this week. Here is the number one verse in the YouVersion Bible app, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Let me read it to you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Does that surprise anyone that is the number one verse? I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from this article I read about that. It says, this same verse was the Bible app's most engaged verse in 4 out of the past 6 years. A fact that YouVersion said was a testament to the enduring need for God's reassurance in uncertain times. We're not in uncertain. Are we in uncertain times? I think maybe we are. YouVersion's founder and CEO said this, I think this verse keeps rising to the top because it addresses one of our deepest needs, the assurance that we're not alone. In a world full of anxiety and uncertainty, people are drawn to God's promise to be with us, to strengthen us, and to help us. That message never gets old because the need for it is universal and timeless. We need to know that God is with us. Yes? Fear. Like I said, maybe none of you struggle with it, so I'll just preach to myself this morning. Is that okay? If you get anything from it, you can let me know. So this story of Joseph, let's look at that and see. You think that he was fearful when Mary shows up and says, I'm pregnant? And can you? I was telling the early service, this really just kind of came to me as I was preaching in the early service, that ladies, if you haven't noticed, us men sometimes struggle with pride. Did you know that?
No.
News flash. All the guys are going, hey, I don't struggle with no pride. Yes, we do. What do you think was happening with Joseph? Okay. Let's look at how we might use this scripture in Joseph's response to overcome fear. We overcome fear, church, by realizing that fear is not from God. We need to understand fear is from the enemy. The solution to fear is God. But God never wants us to be afraid. Now, some will say, well, it says in Scripture that we should fear God. That's a whole different matter. That's an awe, and to be in awe of Him, to understand who He is. It's not to fear what's to come, what might happen in our lives. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, here it is. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. If you study that phrase, some versions of God's word will say, fear not. Do not be afraid, fear not. It's just translated different. So many times, close to 100 times in Scripture, we're told to fear not, to not be afraid. And just a few in this, kind of in this story, the angel said to Mary, you're going to conceive this child, but don't be afraid. He told the shepherds, there's been a Savior's been born to you. And when they appeared, I mean, they're out there tending the sheep, and these angels appear to them. And the first thing they said, don't be afraid. Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, God tells Zechariah that Elizabeth in her old age is going to have a child, but don't be afraid. The Lord said to Abram, who became Abraham, move from, take everything, take your family and move. He didn't even say where it's going to be, just I'll show you, but don't be afraid. To the women at the tomb after Jesus was resurrected, the angel said, don't be afraid. And then even the resurrected Jesus to the women when he met them, don't be afraid. I've risen, go and tell the disciples. So on and on and on. I could give you so many more. Scripture is littered with God telling us, don't be afraid. So I said this in my email this week, if any of you looked at this, but I said this, God wouldn't say it if we didn't struggle with it. Why would it be over and over and over, and the first thing the angels say, the first thing that God says when he appears to anyone is, don't be afraid. Why would he say that so many times in God's word if we didn't struggle with it? So here's a question for us. How often does fear determine our behavior? Uh-oh. Billy, is this on? Do you hear me okay out there? How often does fear dictate our behavior? Ponder that for just a second. Fear is not from God, church. Fear is not from God. Proverbs says it this way, an anxious heart, a fearful heart, an anxious heart weighs a man down. It's a burden. Fear is a burden on us. I read, this was a kind of a silly meme that I read the other day. It said, 90% of the things we worry about never happen. See, worrying works. That's what it's... That was the meme. That's false. That is a false statement. No, worrying doesn't work. Being fearful doesn't work. An anxious heart weighs us down. But how many of us struggle with it? We struggle with it. I think I'm pretty laid back. I'm sorry, I've got to tell this. We had a puppy a few years ago that got caught between the dresser and the bed and dislocated a hip. And then, you know, that wasn't, and it's kind of, and Cheryl and the girls are like, ah! Something like that. And I have experience with dislocated, you know, limbs. And I went over and I went, hang on. Popped it back in and everybody was good. But I'm fairly laid back in that sense. My fear is not things like that maybe some of you might struggle with. Where I struggle is the anxiety of the state of our world, state of our culture. An anxious heart weighs a man down. Paul tells the church in Philippi, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here's the payoff, church. When we, instead of being fearful and anxious, if we'll give that, turn it over to the Lord, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So the fear and the anxiety in our lives, it weighs us down. God wants freedom for us. Fear is not from God, church, but God is the solution to fear. Secondly, so how do we do that? I mean, how do we give it to God? We overcome fear, secondly, by replacing fear with faith. Now that you've probably heard that the opposite of fear is faith. Joseph, Mary says, I'm pregnant. And I can just imagine the things running through Joseph's mind. Man, she says it was the Holy Spirit. First of all, she's lost her mind. I'm going to have to explain this to my family and my friends and the church and in the community. And the angel appeared to him and said, "Don't be afraid, Joseph. This is the Holy Spirit has conceived this child in her." And it says, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He replaced fear with faith. Faith is not a sure thing. Faith is trusting. It's an act of will where we're trusting this Savior that loves us. And so let me back up 1 second and just say this. You can't have faith unless you trust who you have faith in. For me, my faith is centered on the fact that I know Jesus loves me. I know he loves me. A knucklehead that I am, he loves me. And I've shared this story before, but it just always, when I think about fear and faith, I think about when the girls were little, they had just learned how to swim. And we were members of the Abilene Swim Club. Anybody still? I think it's still around. It's kind of rusty now, but we were members of the Abilene Swim Club, and we were out there, and the girls had just learned to swim, and they had in their heart and in their mind they wanted to be able to jump off the diving board. And here's kind of how it went. They would walk to the end of the diving board, and they'd look down, and they kind of doing some of this stuff, you know, for a while. And then they'd, no. And then the next one would walk out to the end of the diving board and go through the same routine. And that went on for a little while. And finally, I jumped in the water. And I went out there, I treading water, I went out to the end of the diving board and I said, "Jump. Your daddy's got you. It's going to be okay. Just jump." And they each jumped, and then it was on. They couldn't do that diving board fast enough now. It opened up a whole new world to them, the joy of jumping off the diving board. But what it took was they had to trust that I cared for them and I was going to catch them. We can't overcome fear with faith unless we understand the one we have faith in loves us. He loves us. He never wants harm for us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles in this life, but what's so beautiful is he walks with us through those struggles, those trials. What a beautiful thing. There's no fear in love. Scripture says, but perfect love drives out fear. And probably one of my favorite passages is has a very meaningful moment in my life. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trusting this Savior that loves us. He's saying, don't worry about the fear of jumping. Just jump. I've got you. And I love you. I want good things for you. We overcome fear with faith in this Savior that loves us. And then finally, we overcome fear by focusing on eternal things. And if you remember, if you were here last week, it's very similar. The angel appeared to Mary and to Joseph. First to Mary, and we talked about this last week. At first, he said, you're gonna bear a child. She says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And he paints this picture. And then he says, this big banner over the situation. He says, he's going to be great. He's going to be the Savior of the world. His kingdom will never end. He paints this eternal picture for her. And I believe that was enough for her to step forward in faith. And then with Joseph hears from Mary, I'm bearing a child. He knows it wasn't his, and all the things that he's struggling with. And then the angel appears to him, and listen, very similar. Joseph, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He's Emmanuel, which means God with us. She's going to give birth to God in the flesh, and he's going to save the world. He paints this eternal snapshot for Joseph. I think when we are struggling with fear and we give it to the Lord, he will show us that you don't have to be fearful. If you'll overcome this fear by trusting me, I've got a plan. You know, and I think about in my own life, as I talked about my anxiousness about our culture and our world, just the craziness of where we are, where we find ourselves, and things we're even talking about and debating in this culture. And I struggle with that. And I read some quotes. I'm like Billy last week. I need to stop even reading some of the stuff that I read. But read these, you know, high profile either stars or athletes or politicians or whatever, and they say the craziest things. And when I'm anxious about those things, to trust in the Lord, like, none of those things have caught the Lord by surprise. Our culture, it's not a surprise to him. He's doing something, because he's always doing something, and he wants to draw people unto himself. He wants us to trust him, and our trust, when we focus on this Savior that loves us and on this eternal picture, our trust has the potential to impact lives. When the whole world is kind of going nuts and everybody else is fearful. And you can do a practical, you can think about it in practical ways. Like if I've had jobs in the past where I used, back in my computer days, I worked for a corporation that had been in existence for over 80 years. There was two brothers, Anderson Clayton. I don't know if anybody knows any of this, but anyway, there was two brothers that started this company like 80 years earlier. They had died, and their children had retired, and the grandchildren took over. And guess what? The grandchildren said, "We're selling everything off. We don't care about the company anymore. We want some bucks." And so there was a lot of anxiety throughout the company. Am I going to have a job tomorrow? Well, practical thing, you just trust the Lord. And if everybody else is, no offense, Cheryl and the girls, but if they're running around, you know, when the dog's hip comes out of socket, going, if they're doing that, if you remain calm and trust the Lord, you're impacting lives. You're impacting lives. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We can't overcome fear unless we trust him. We can't trust him unless we know he loves us. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Lord, we need you. Lord, we struggle with fear and anxiety. We confess it to you. You will uphold us with your righteous right hand. You will strengthen us. And Lord, we need that. May we just trust you as Mary and Joseph trusted you in the midst of the chaos that was this new pregnancy, this new birth that was to be. But you had a plan, and you have a plan in our lives. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this meal today, I was thinking, you know, we this time of year, the emphasis is on the baby Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And I think about this baby, and all babies are cute, yes? They're just cute. Baby anythings are cute, but babies are cute. And so we think about this precious little child, but 30-some-odd years later, he was a man. And that precious little child became a man and allowed his body to be broken for you and I. And he allowed the precious blood, the Lamb of God, allowed his precious blood to be spilt, poured out for us because he loves us. Church, we can trust that. We can trust him. If you will just bow your heads with me and confess your own personal prayer of confession of your own personal sin, just in your own heart. Jesus, thank you that you loved us enough to come and lay down your life for us. May this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us. And may we remember you, Jesus. You said, when you come and partake of this meal, remember me. We remember. We remember you. We remember what you've done for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. Those who are serving would come forward, please. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. It's not my table. It's not Wiley Methodist table. It's his table. If you have confessed him as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. These two stations over here and these two stations over here will be given a piece of bread, dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. If you'd like the individual elements, you can come to the center and receive those and return to your seat to partake of those, and you can discard those as you leave. Jesus loves you. He's trustworthy. He invites you. Come.
So sing with the angels.
indeed hope is alive, and he has a name, Jesus. Hear this word. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We have a Savior that loves us. Do not be afraid. That's good news, church. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.